everyone, and welcome to another Yes to Life show. Yes to Life is the charity I set up over a decade ago to help people with cancer in the UK to access treatment approaches that are not available within our NHS. Today, our services are needed more than ever, as the number of people getting cancer continues to rise relentlessly, and more people are becoming aware that there's no need to be a passive recipient of treatment anymore. In fact, there's an enormous amount you can do to help yourself. If you don't know much about Yes to Life, do take a look at yestolife.org.uk to see what we do. This week's show is all about reflexology. It's a complementary therapy that a lot of people with cancer find helpful, so I wanted to find out why and to learn more about the therapy itself. Tracy Smith has been a practitioner for almost 20 years. Prior to that, she was a scientist for 18 years, working in hospital laboratories as a researcher, originally in immunology, but more lately in molecular biology. More specifically, she worked for the Imperial Cancer Research Fund for several years in the autologous bone marrow transplantation unit, and she worked on the understanding of retinoblastoma at Great Ormond Street Hospital. She also worked in genetics and assisted conception at Guy's and St Thomas's hospitals. Tracy is now the reflexology and research manager for the Association of Reflexologists. I met up with Tracy under the shadow of the Shard in the square of Southwark Cathedral. Hi Tracy, thanks a lot for coming on the show today to tell us about reflexology.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Robin.
Yeah, so reflexology is enormously popular on the cancer wards, and so unless I'm missing something big, we can be pretty certain it's not for its anti-cancer properties. So what do you think it is that makes it so popular with people with cancer?
I think reflexology helps support the person living with cancer, so therefore it gives a lot of support to perhaps other areas that medicine can't. Therapeutic touch is very important indeed for anybody, for any person, because it's been shown by the Miami Touch Institute that touch helps premature babies thrive, and they get to go home a lot quicker, and they put on weight a lot quicker when they're massaged. So I think that anything involves therapeutic touch can help with the well-being and the quality of life of people who are going through probably the worst time of their lives.
Absolutely.
So it can be incredibly supportive. I think having a therapist that's there to listen for maybe 20 minutes for half an hour is something perhaps they don't have normally, because nurses and any support staff on the wards are incredibly busy. And I think it can help, reflexology can help with a lot of the side effects of illnesses, of cancer therapy, of nausea, of pain, of sleep problems, constipation, etc., etc. And I just think it's just very supportive.
Great, all right. So let's start with the basics. What is reflexology? Where does it come from?
Okay, so reflexology is a therapeutic touch. It's applied to the feet, the hands, the face, or the ears. Most therapists do foot reflexology. Face reflexology is becoming increasingly popular. Ear reflexology is quite a specialist subject.
Okay.
But it's basically extremities. And it's about the application of massage and pressure to certain points that are said to, the theory of reflexology is that they reflect the greater body. So by treating the whole of the foot or the whole of the hands, it's helping rebalance those areas in the body that may be out of balance. It comes originally from China. It's been known for thousands of years in China. It's actually used as part of their healthcare system almost in China to this day. But the Western version of reflexology was actually started about 100 years ago by a chap in America called Dr. William Fitzgerald, who was an ear, nose and throat surgeon. And he found that by applying pressure to various parts of the body, he could cause other parts of the body to go numb. the typical ones he used were clothes pegs on the fingers, right, which made parts of the face go numb. There's a very interesting book that shows some of the things that he used to use. We do not use any of those tools anymore. We only use our hands. No clothes pegs are involved now. And he passed this information down to a lady called Eunice Ingham, who's known as the mother of sort of Western reflexology. Right. And her systems have grown to be reflexology as we know it today. Mm. But they still both the Chinese and the more Western version rely on the idea of the foot map, that there are parts of the body that relate to parts of the foot, or the hands, or the face, or the ears.
Okay, we'll go into all those different bits a bit later. But so, I've decided I want to be a reflexologist. How do I go about it? What sort of training do I do? How do I get the right certification to show I'm a proper therapist?
Okay, well, under British common law, reflexology isn't a protected title. It's not statutory regulated. Therefore, anybody that has read a book can call themselves a reflexologist. And obviously that's difficult for us as practitioners, but it's also very difficult for members of the public to know how to find a good practitioner. Right. We have a qualification that's reflexology is on the qualifications and credits framework, which is the standard governmental framework. It's one of only three complementary therapies that is, the others being massage and aromatherapy. Okay. And so we use that as a standard for our membership. And also it's used as a standard for the Complementary and Natural Healthcare Council, which is a voluntary regulator, as opposed to a statutory regulator, which is what you get with osteopaths, chiropractors, physiotherapists, etc., etc. So we can choose to be regulated, as opposed to being required to be regulated in law. So the key thing about finding a good therapist is that you go to the right place to find them in the first place. Right. And with the Association of Reflexologists, which is obviously who I work for and who I belong to as a therapist as well, we have a Find a Reflexologist search on our website. So you can just put your postcode in and find people that are well-trained, insured, expected to abide by a code of conduct, and expected to do continuing professional development throughout the whole of their reflexology mm-hmm. journey.
All right, that's great. So this show is about integrative medicine for cancer. So of course, I'm interested in the particular ways that reflexology can help people with cancer. So could we run through the ways in which it could be helpful and all the scenarios in which people would maybe consider a session or some sessions of reflexology?
The thing about reflexology is because it's incredibly supportive, it can be supportive in all of the journey of somebody going through a cancer treatment. Okay. So that can be even before diagnosis, where you start to get worried, where you're concerned that there's something going wrong. Reflexologists are very good at picking up on symptoms and urging people to go to their doctors about them. We don't diagnose, we're not allowed to, but we listen to people. Yeah. And if somebody said to me, I've lost a load of weight recently, I'd be there saying, please go to your GP, but I'd also be trying to help with the anxiety levels. I think post-diagnosis, obviously there can be a huge emotional shock. Then there can be things like operations, there can be chemotherapy, radiotherapy, there can be a whole host of drugs that go along to support those treatments. Reflexology is used in hospitals to support the symptoms, so symptomatic management, but it can also be there to help with the emotional side of things that maybe there isn't that much support for in hospitals. And we can be there not only applying therapeutic touch, not only potentially having an effect on things like pain and nausea, but also with that pair of empathic listening ears, which can make a difference to how somebody feels and how somebody sees themselves.
That's very important, isn't it? Particularly in the hospital environment that we all know is completely time poor. And nobody's got time to listen, really, have they?
Everybody's totally overworked. Yeah. And nobody has time to sit down and say, well, how are you feeling today? Mm. There's a lovely piece of research that actually, where a gentleman was asked what he felt about the reflexology, and he said, it was the only non-invasive thing I've had done to me all day. And I think that is it gives a real picture of what reflexology can add to somebody who's actually in hospital.
Right. Mm. Okay, so can we get specific now about some of the particular things where, from your experience, you know that reflexology has been helpful, particular side effects, particular symptoms?
I mean, reflexology works with the individual, so we can't blanketly say everybody is going to have these effects. No. But what has been shown in research projects, and I have to state that the research projects are tiny because they're complementary medicine and we don't get massive funding to do this sort of thing. But what is coming out of the research projects is that when you just look at does it help with quality of life, you start to find that people absolutely agree with this. They value the relaxation it gives. But there's also things like there is one paper that where they found that 16 out of the 18 symptoms that they looked at in the reflexology group got better, whereas only 4 out of the 18 symptoms were benefited in the control group. So that goes to show that a control group does have an effect. Just having somebody sit with you has an effect. But when you add the reflexology on the top, 16 out of the 18 changed. And these were things like sleep, nausea, constipation, and being able to cope. And that is, I think, one of the biggest things that seems to come out of a lot of the more generalistic research is that there's a strength of personal experience, I suppose. The ability to cope just comes to the fore, which is a fantastic thing. If that's a little side effect of reflexology, we're happy to accept it.
That bundle of symptoms you talked about, these are the things that make people's life a hell, actually, aren't they? You put them together. I mean, how about fatigue? This is a killer, isn't it, for people? This is one
Sorry,
of the
that
worst.
Was one of them as well. That was one it? Of the
right.
16, yes.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, this is one of the things that most cancer patients who are going through orthodox treatment complain of as being the worst bit, actually.
Yeah. The one that there was only in that particular study, there was only one that came out to be statistically significant, and that was breathing, which is good in itself. But then you add everything added together, there was a trend towards, well, there was statistical significance when you added it all together. So the whole quality of life changed,
right.
The well-being of those people changed. And that is a very big step when you're already feeling terrible.
Yeah.
It doesn't take a great deal of change to feel better when you are feeling very rock bottom.
Yeah, absolutely. And did you mention nausea there? I think you said nausea.
Nausea
yeah.
was definitely one of those symptoms. But there's been other studies. There was another study that was done on gastric cancer. So they looked at liver and stomach cancer. And they looked at pain levels, and people were on self-administered analgesia, but they still found that they were reporting considerable amounts of pain and anxiety, even though they were on self-administered analgesia. And they found that after reflexology, those levels of reported anxiety and pain dropped dramatically, but their level of analgesia didn't. So they didn't need to take more pain medication to become less worried, less anxious, and in less pain from having actually very short treatments. They rarely have more than 30 minutes because reflexology has to be adapted to people who are undergoing cancer treatment. So you would never give an hour-long treatment to someone who's having cancer.
That's interesting. Okay, so I was going to ask you about whether you're sometimes able to help with a single session or whether multiple sessions is nearly always required or advised or...
Well, the thing is, it's really dependent on where you are in your journey, in your cancer journey, but also where you are in terms of access to those sorts of therapies. If you're in hospital, you may find that it's offered to you very frequently. You might get offered every other day, for example, very short sessions. But if you're out, if you've been through the hospital end of cancer treatment and you're out looking after yourself, then you may decide you want it once a week or even once a month just to help you pick yourself up. There was a study that was done on metastatic cancer, which is the worst type of cancer pain you can possibly have. And what they found was that administered reflexology made a difference within the first 3 hours post session. And then after that, the pain started to creep up. And they were wondering whether actually it could be something that family members or other sort of people around them in their own homes could offer. And I think they were going to go on and do a study in that to see if application every 3 hours could help that much. It didn't last for very long with metastatic cancer. The effect didn't last for very long. But that doesn't mean that it wouldn't in other scenarios. It's just that's the worst pain you can have.
So. Yeah. Okay, and what about lymphedema? Does reflexology have any application there?
Well, that's quite interesting because there was a study published only this year of it was a small study of 26 women funded from a charity in Wales where they looked at a very specific treatment called reflexology lymph drainage technique. And it was carried out on the feet, but this particular study was looking at lymphedema of the arm post-breast cancer. Yes, post an operation for breast cancer. And they found that the test they were doing were comparing the normal and swollen arm with the swollen arm.
Right.
And they measured both as a cylinder. So they only measured from wrist to shoulder. They couldn't measure any of the swelling that might have been behind or in front of the shoulder, but they measured wrist to shoulder. And they found the volume of the affected arm dropped dramatically with a treatment on the feet.
Right.
And interestingly, at 3 months seemed to stay dropped.
Really? That is interesting.
Yes.
And that's quite an effect, isn't it?
Yes. And you know, medicine, I don't think, can quite get their heads around
no.
it. Because why would you treat the foot to make that difference
well, exactly.
in the arm?
And not that there's anything that much on offer anyway.
No, exactly.
Not in terms of a permanent sort of fix.
That's right.
Of that nature.
There's a clinical effectiveness gap.
Yeah.
And I think clinical effectiveness gaps is where complementary therapies can come to the fore because they can suddenly show that actually they can have an effect sometimes, and I'm not saying all of the time by any means, sometimes where there isn't a current treatment for that problem. And I think this technique's going to go in leaps and bounds. Yeah.
Mm. Okay, so I wanted to ask a little bit about you all these different places you can apply the reflexology. Why? What makes you decide whether to treat somebody's ears or their feet?
Well, sometimes, occasionally you'll get a reason, for example, like a foot is in a plaster cast where you can't treat a foot.
Okay,
yeah. In which case it may well be that you do foot and hand reflexology, one foot, one hand.
Mm-hmm.
It may be that a person really doesn't like having their feet touched.
Right.
And if that's the case, then you might treat the hands. Face reflexology is quite new, and that has an effect at a sort of deeper level because it's so close to the brain. And it may be very much more relaxing than foot reflexology for a lot of people, but then some people won't want their faces touched for whatever reason. So it's about matching the area of treatment to the person's wants and needs, really.
Right, okay. One other thing I want to ask you about. We didn't speak at all about peripheral neuropathy.
Yes.
Now, is this something that reflexology can help with? Because it's a very common symptom of some particular chemotherapies that people have to deal with.
It is. It's specific to the platinum drugs.
Yes.
And we did start to do the beginnings of a small research project with the Christie Hospital on this area The Christie are using acupuncture for peripheral neuropathy, but they found that there are people who just don't want to have needles. And so they were looking for an alternative, and they are using reflexology for it at the Christie.
Right.
That hasn't quite come off the ground yet in terms of our research project, but we're hoping it will go forwards. Again, this is an issue of proprioception. This is an issue of feeling things through the feet, which allows you to know where you are in the world. And if effective touch affects proprioception, then it sort of follows that reflexology through effective touch will have an effect on proprioception and therefore peripheral neuropathy. We just don't know yet. It's always worth a try though.
Absolutely.
Because again, the other treatments that are on offer for peripheral neuropathy are not very pleasant.
Yeah, it's a very nasty symptom to have.
Yes, incredibly so. And in fact, sometimes it can stop the drugs being used at their full extent because the worry about the peripheral neuropathy, so they drop the level of chemotherapy drugs. The hope is that reflexology might help with the peripheral neuropathy enough so that the levels of drugs don't have to be dropped. And that's certainly, I think, what they're using acupuncture for at the Christie Hospital.
Okay, so reflexology seems to me to be very often kind of bundled together with aromatherapy. in the practitioners often seem to be trained in both. Do they actually do them both at the same time, or do they do them separately? And if they do them both at the same time, are there other benefits that come from doing that?
Reflexology it's a therapy that a lot of people practice solely. Some people practice alongside other therapies.
Right.
There is one technique where you can apply aromatherapy oils whilst doing reflexology, but only a small amount of reflexologists do that.
Okay.
Most reflexologists are not double trained and therefore would apply straightforward reflexology. Most reflexologists are single trained as reflexologists but may have other therapies that run alongside them.
Right.
So you'll get a few that do offer aromatherapy as well, but normally they wouldn't mix them. There is one technique where you mix aromatherapy with reflexology, but mainly they're applied separately.
Okay.
Right. And they have very different effects. Obviously aromatherapy works with absorption through the skin, whereas reflexology works on the application of pressure, and this is probably to do with effective touch. Effective touch is a very new part of science. They had their first conference, I think, 2 years ago. And it's very much to do with the speed of application of touch to the skin and how that changes parts of the brain and how that changes what the body does and how the body feels. It's a very strong new field that I think is really going
to
play into complementary medicine.
I've never heard of it. Never heard of it, but I think that, you know, there's an awful lot of this kind of neuroscience is coming into these kind of therapies to begin to evaluate them in a completely new way that's never happened before. So even though they may not know why they're working, they can actually see what happens. Mm. They see they actually do something.
Well, they might not actually apply their science. I think they see the science in a box and they don't necessarily apply it to the complementary medicine.
Maybe not.
But we as complementary therapists listen to what they're saying and think, actually, sure. I can see where that works in what we do.
Yes.
And I think that's kind of the two sides of the coin, is that you've got the very science and then you've got the complementary therapies. And actually they should overlap in some way, but they tend to keep quite separate.
Well, let's hope they don't. This is integration.
Absolutely.
It's all about talking to each other about
Absolutely.
This stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so working with cancer usually carries some extra caveats on top of working with anybody else. Some important information regarding the condition itself and the effects of orthodox medicine on the body. Is this true of reflexology? And if so, where can you learn this specialised information?
The person that's living with cancer, or rather supporting the person living with cancer, is about being very aware of their situation, about being very aware of what they've been through up to that point.
Right.
We would say that you can treat most people, but you have to make adaptions with what you're doing. You certainly wouldn't go in and say, I'm going to treat for a whole hour somebody who's been through a massive cancer journey and has had lots of medication, etc., etc., because they may be carrying a lot of waste products in their body, which could make them feel a bit off colour the next day, and you don't want to do that to somebody who's already been through that. So we would say that you need to learn about adaptions, you need to learn about being lighter and more sensitive to what that person is going through. Sometimes all you need to do is hold the feet, and that's all that's required. But it's about applying therapeutic touch with sensitivity. Mm. Now, where you would learn something like that would be, you could go to a course, for sure. There are fantastic courses run by the Christie Hospital Manchester.
Right, especially for treating people with cancer.
Especially in reflexology in
right.
cancer. And it's a really well-taught course. It's a really well, loads of people have done it. And I would definitely say that that's the place to go in terms of learning.
Right.
Because they're actually treating people on wards. They look after inpatients, outpatients, carers and staff
right.
as complementary therapists.
Right. So this is a kind of centre of excellence for this kind of thing.
Absolutely.
So you're already a trained reflexologist.
That's
so you
right.
go along there and then you get this extra training for working with people with cancer.
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
Very
okay.
good course indeed.
Yeah. Great, all right. So very often people who've got cancer, it's not the only thing that's going on with them. They may have more of what are called comorbidities, yes?
Yeah.
And especially in older people. Are there other conditions that reflexology might be able to help with?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, just the whole concept of helping with pain, pain can be across the board. So you can have pain from other things other than the cancer. There's been several studies regarding pain, and not all of them have been based on cancer. Of people living with cancer, rather. There was one recently that showed that you could change, by having reflexology, change the pain threshold and pain tolerance to ice water, which seems a very non-referable piece of research compared to...
It's a bit abstract.
Absolutely,
but, anyway.
But if you can change your pain tolerance, then you can accept what you're going through more, because your pain tolerance levels haven't been reached, if your pain thresholds haven't been reached. So this is where reflexology is thought to help in pain. I mean, it has been used for an awful lot of things. There's a small study recently where they showed that having regular reflexology changed balance in elderly people. And so they were tested on wobble boards, and some had reflexology and some didn't. And those that had reflexology were just better on the wobble boards than the ones that weren't, on the different textures. And that in itself is really interesting. And there is a link up between effective touch, which is this new branch of science, and the proprioception, knowing where your body is in space.
What was that term again?
Proprioception.
Okay, I've never heard that word before, but it's a great word.
It is,
okay,
indeed.
And it covers, I understand what it means, but yeah.
Yeah.
It covers a whole description of something in one word.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's about the ability for your feet to know where they are on the ground.
Yeah.
And if you lose your ability to have proprioception, you lose the ability to remain standing, or you lose the ability to be balanced. So your balance goes, and then of course you get falls. So when you get to the elderly, having reflexology on the feet is a very good thing on lots of different levels.
I should be telling my mum. She needs to know about that. Thank you. Yeah, very interesting.
Oh, and the other thing, there was recently on the news, there was this thing about ibuprofen being really bad for the heart as you get older. In fact, it was yesterday in the news. We have a study on reflexology from Iran, of all places, where they compared reflexology and ibuprofen. And they gave ibuprofen, it was for period pain, so it was in young women. They gave ibuprofen regularly for 3 months. And then they gave reflexology regularly for 2 months and not for the third month.
Okay.
And yet they had the same, it had the same pain effect in the third month, or pain relieving effect in the third month, compared to the 2 months where they'd actually been given the reflexology. And in both cases, the reflexology was superior to the ibuprofen for pain relief.
So it had somehow established a kind of a pain relief system in the body.
And had continued to work.
Yeah.
And there's another study which was about psychological symptoms in women who'd had early breast cancer or early detected breast cancer. And they did a comparison of self-initiated support, which was the control. Everybody got self-initiated support. But they either then gave reflexology or head massage, and then nothing in the third group. And they found that at the end of the time point, which was 18 weeks post-surgery, that both head massage and reflexology were comparable. But at 24 weeks, a further 6 weeks on, reflexology was not only superior to head massage, it was also clinically worthwhile, according to the equation that you have to do to find out whether something is clinically worthwhile. And that basically means it's worth the money and the worth the money to get the effect in a medical situation. Of course, it's still not been brought on.
It doesn't mean to say they're actually paying for it.
Yes, exactly. And so you can see there, in that case, it was a delayed response. At the end point, there wasn't a difference between the two, but six weeks down the line, there was a response, or a better response in reflexology.
So in terms of cancer units around the country, how common is reflexology? How many of these cancer units actually offer this kind of therapy?
Well, there was a study that was carried out in 2009, which obviously is a while back now.
Yeah.
And reflexology was offered in 62% of NHS cancer units, which was second only to counselling, which I'm not actually convinced is a complementary therapy, but it was classified as in that piece of research. And aromatherapy was offered in 59% of the time. So it was... reflexology is more prevalent. Whether it's actually paid for as opposed to volunteer is a completely other matter.
So that puts reflexology as the most popular complementary therapy in cancer wards then, yeah?
That in cancer units, yes, that's correct. Yeah. And whether it's on the ward or whether it's in terms of being inpatients, outpatients, we don't know, but it was definitely the cancer unit. So, yeah.
Interesting. Okay, and just looking at the evidence generally for reflexology, as you said earlier on, it's not like you haven't got any heavyweight trials here. That's fair enough. No complementary medicine has. But what's the general spread of evidence? Do you feel it's as good as other complementary therapies, and is it stronger for some things than others? I mean, what's the general picture?
I think the general picture is that reflexology works across the board in some of the studies and not all of the studies, and it is a tiny amount compared to something like acupuncture. Acupuncture has a much bigger evidence base than reflexology, and in part because they get a lot of their research from other countries like Germany. Whereas reflexology is just, the research just isn't there at the moment.
It's interesting though, but nonetheless, it's so popular.
It's being used, absolutely.
Yeah,
and the public outside of cancer care, public don't seem to care that there isn't an evidence base. They choose to walk with their feet, literally,
to find
reflexologists.
It works. Yeah.
Absolutely, and I think that's the very big thing, is that reflexology is a very individualistic treatment, and you can never say whether it's going to work for an individual or not.
No.
And thereby probably lies the issue with some of the research studies, is that if you gather enough people around that it's not going to work for, then you'll get a negative research project. But I think there is a whole load of research that could be done, but the problem is getting funding.
Well, absolutely. You know, a big point, of course, is that it's not exactly risky, reflexology, is it?
No, it's a very low-risk intervention indeed, which is why our insurance doesn't cost very much.
Right, good. All right. We talked a little bit earlier on about how to get qualified as a reflexologist. So I'm a cancer patient. I want to find somebody to help me with reflexology. I'm going to go straight onto the Association of Reflexologists website.
That's correct, yes. It's www.aor.org.uk, and you can put your postcode in and you can find a list of people that are close to you, and they may say whether they do mobile visits or not, which can be important if you're feeling extremely unwell and some to have somebody to come to your house.
Lovely,
And then when you've got the list, the best thing to do is to just ring a few people up and find somebody that you like, because you really don't want to go for this sort of therapy to somebody that grates on you from the minute you meet them. So it's always a good idea to have a chat. There's a therapist out there that will fit everybody somewhere. It's just a matter that maybe you'd have to find it. So when you go for a treatment, what you'll get is you'll be taken into a room, made comfortable, and then you'll be asked your medical history.
Okay.
And that's because we need to know what sort of journey you've been through, whether it be a cancer journey or whether it just be a life journey. We need to be aware of what we might be looking for in the feet. And then we would get you comfortable in the seat, ask you to remove your socks if you're having foot reflexology. Of course, if you're having hand, ear or face reflexology, it's a different matter. And then give you a treatment which is basically hands on feet. No implements will be used. And then you'll be given some aftercare advice. Specifically, it's always to drink more water, usually, because we're very aware that there needs to be a flushing of the waste products out of the body that may have been released by the application of pressure on the feet. And then you will be asked to just watch and wait and see what happens to your body over the next couple of days. And then when it comes to booking again, it could be weekly if you're if you've got something specific that you're keen to look at, for example, fatigue. It may be that you want a few together, a few closer together treatments, like weekly treatments, or it may be once a month. It depends really what you want to look at within your house and how you build up, perhaps. So, for example, if stress is an issue, how that builds up over time, it's better to have a regular appointment to help release that rather than allow it to build up a lot and then go for a treatment in the hope that it will help.
All right, well, we're going to wrap it up there. Thanks very much indeed, Tracy. It's really great talking to somebody who knows so much about the subject, and particularly with regard to cancer. It's been really interesting.
Thank you very much. Thanks, sir.
After that in-depth practitioner perspective from Tracy, I thought it'd be great to hear from someone on the receiving end of reflexology. Jo Langton put herself forward for the job in a spirited manner, so I had a short chat with her on Skype to find out why she was choosing reflexology to support herself. Hi Jo, thanks a lot for coming on to tell us a little bit of real-world experience of using reflexology.
So, thanks Robin.
Okay, so do you want to start by briefly telling us about your situation, you know, what you're dealing with and what stage of treatment you're at?
Yes, certainly. So I got diagnosed with grade 2 breast cancer back in June of this year. And so I'm receiving neoadjuvant chemotherapy, which means I'm having it before having any surgery. And so that means I'm having my treatment for about 6 months, which is running through until December, before I have the rest of the surgery and radiation treatment that follows on from that. So I'm about halfway through the chemo at the moment and, yeah, enjoying it.
Well, okay, bravely said. How is it going?
No, not too bad, I have to say. And I would say that one of the reasons for that is what we're going to talk about today, I guess, is using complementary therapies to try and support your system and your body while you're going through this tough period. Along with that, I've been doing a lot of exercise as well. So just trying to keep it all going as best I can.
Great. It's no picnic, but it sounds like you're doing the right kind of things. Great. Okay, so yeah, today's show is all about reflexology, and I've had a great talk with Tracy about the sort of technicalities and the do's and the don'ts and all the rest of it. But I really wanted to hear what it was like to actually receive it and the reasons that you chosen to use reflexology, what you're actually looking to get from it.
Well, I actually discovered reflexology when I was pregnant with my daughter many years ago. And at that time, found it to be a great stress reliever and also something that helped relieve, even though it's only being done to your sort of your feet and your legs, that it actually relieves symptoms of aches and pains elsewhere in your body. Now, I'm probably one of the fortunate people out there that in the hospital where I'm being treated, they have a number of complementary therapists kind of roving around and available to come and treat you while you're receiving your chemotherapy. So I knew already that I had found it effective. When I saw one of these complementary therapists roving around, I sort of collared her and said, oh, you know, you've got a new customer here. Let's get going. How have I found it useful? I'm doing scalp cooling, which is the sort of cold, freezing cold hat that you wear on your head during chemotherapy to try and keep your hair.
It's working really well. It is, I can see.
So far, yeah, it's hanging in well. I've got everything crossed.
Yeah, brilliant.
But that's quite, you know, after several hours, it starts to wear on you a bit and you'd love to get it off. So that's where initially reflexology came in, was kind of save me from this pain, and distract me. And, you know, and it was fabulous. So the lady came over and gave me a reflexology treatment and just liberated me into seventh heaven from sort of the sort of pain that I was having and the frustration of wearing the scalp cooling. So that was sort of how I came to it in the first instance with respect to treatment. But subsequent to that, what I've also found it useful for is in the management of the nausea and fatigue that comes after chemo.
Right.
I think that's that can last for several days. I think everybody seems to have a different experience. And for me, again, I just found that and using that treatment, it's also convenient to use in that, you know, you don't have to take all your clothes off like a normal massage. It's very simple, and yet so effective. So it has helped for me to, you know, when that fatigue is taking over your whole body and you're not feeling so great, it just helps. The word is liberation for me. It helps liberate the weight of that feeling.
So, yeah, to people who haven't experienced it, fatigue doesn't sound too bad. But actually, it's right up there as one of the worst symptoms of chemotherapy, isn't it, for amongst patients? And, you know, the thing they complain about most. So anything that can actually make a difference there has got to be good.
I would agree. I think for me as well, exercise is the other thing. But as you say, the fatigue, it almost overtakes that. So your desire to get up and do anything is eroded quite a lot. And that was a really big shock to me as quite an active person. So, you know, as you say, it's about adding whatever you can into the mix to try and support yourself and just make yourself feel a bit better, because I guess all the treatments are temporary. It's all about just doing the best you can and trying to get through that with, you know, with some kind of positive attitude where you can. And so, yeah, I have found it really, I would say, a critical piece of the puzzle. And I would definitely advocate that people give it a go or at least look into it. Because as I say, a lot of the support centres around and even some hospitals have people available there that can offer that service to you.
Okay, great. Sounds like you're a signed up fan. Just out of interest, are there any other strategies you're using during your chemotherapy for keeping yourself well? You've mentioned these two. Anything else?
Yeah, so for me, I'm definitely trying a bit of everything. So I've also been doing shiatsu massage as well. Mm-hmm. I've found that to be very effective in terms of the fatigue element as well. And also, I am starting acupuncture after my next chemo next week to try and see if that has an impact, because I know there's been a lot of support around that for managing nausea. Mm-hmm. So we'll give that a good go and see if that helps.
Great.
And then, yeah, I've also been adding sort of hypnosis, guided meditation, you name it, give
right.
it a go.
Whatever see you can. Helps. It's got to be worth trying these things, hasn't it? Because, of course, you know, just toughing it out through some of these symptoms is no picnic at all. It's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think everyone's different, so you just never know what's going to work for you. And so I think if you can afford it, obviously it's tough because some of it is expensive, but there's a lot, as I say, there's a lot of support centres that offer these things. I think for breast cancer, there's the Breast Cancer Haven. They've got 4 centres around the country, and they offer a lot of these treatments for free. So there's no excuse not to take them up if you can get to one of these places, which is great. And I really think they help the journey. So, yeah, definitely worth it.
All right, great. Well, look, Joe, thanks very much for coming on. That's really great addition to the show, and the very best of luck with your treatment.
Excellent. Thanks, Robin.
I hope that was informative and will make some of you want to give reflexology a go for a variety of problems. Links to resources mentioned in the show are, as usual, on the Yes to Life website. Go to yestolife.org.uk, choose Media Centre in the left-hand side bar, and then choose UK Health Radio. I'd like to give another mention for our annual conference in London on the 19th of November. It's all about cancer as a metabolic epigenetic disease, and the title of the conference is a quote from world-class scientist Paul Davies and is his description of the entire mainstream of cancer research, charging down the wrong path. If this all sounds a bit abstract or theoretical to you and you're struggling to see how it relates to you and your health, whether you have cancer or not, then don't allow that to put you off. There will be a wide range of top speakers covering everything from the history and science of cancer research and theory to the present day clinical application of metabolic approaches and the personal experience of successful metabolic treatment. Next week, I shall be talking to someone from another charity, Victoria's Promise. Alex Eastman is one of the family heavily involved in supporting younger women through cancer in a variety of ways. I hope you'll be able to listen again. Goodbye.